Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you're here, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just recently begun attending, we're pleased that you've joined us. Those of us who are here week in and week out want to welcome you and greet you. We'll try to find you, shake your hand, offer a word of welcome. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we are very pleased that you've joined us, and we would love it if you would choose to make your worship home here with us. Now, one way to make your home in a particular congregation is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through that congregation. You can find lots of that information in the bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up just a few things here. We continue to collect peanut butter for Second Harvest Food Bank. As you know, during the holidays, food banks are often depleted. And each January, we ask Second Harvest, what do you need? And they give us an item to collect. So this year, it's peanut butter. You see the blue collecting tubs around, please. We're collecting through next Sunday, the first Sunday in February. So anytime this week or next Sunday, if you haven't already brought some peanut butter, I know that Second Harvest would greatly appreciate it if you would. Our fifth grade Sunday school class is raising money for women and children in Latin America, Asia, and Africa. Now, this money goes to provide education about nutrition, oral rehydration, immunization, and growth monitoring. This is an idea that came out of their Sunday school class, out of their study within the Sunday school class. There is a table in Reed Hall. Lots of fifth graders out there who will be glad to tell you more about this project and will gladly accept your donation toward this project after this service is finished. Also, there is an all-church lunch immediately following this service. It's very special. It's always special, but it's very special today because it's part of our 140th anniversary of West End being a station church, a church with its own pastor appointed to it. We're having lots of different events between last October and this coming October, which is our 140th year. This is one of those. I hope you got a booklet when you came in. If you didn't, please get one before you leave. And even if you can't stay for lunch, stop in McWhirter Hall and look around at some of the beautiful exhibits there from the history of this congregation. And you don't have to have made a reservation. I know some of you may have done that, but there is always plenty, so please plan on joining us. And finally, there is a charge conference at 5:30 February the 11th, and that is to adjust clergy salaries to match lay salaries. You all were gracious enough to give a small increase to all your staff, and to do that for your clergy staff, you have to have a charge conference. And we will have that at 5:30 at the beginning of our ministry table meeting on February the 11th. If you are a member of church council, you're expected to be there. If you are a congregation member, you're welcome to be there. Jesus sent us out to fish for people, and God has cast the broad net of God's love, and look at the catch. Just look around. Now it's our turn to cast that broad net of God's love around all we meet.
As we begin our worship gathering, let us remember that it is not we who choose Christ,
but Christ who chooses us.
That we are not here because of our goodness,
but because of Christ's grace.
That we are not here to enlighten ourselves,
but to allow Christ to enlighten us.
And that we have not come to be entertained,
but to worship God with heart, soul, mind, and strength.
All too often, we tell God we will do better and be better, and then just go on living the same way we always have. Let this be the moment when we tell our God of our failures and faithfulness so we can go forth to work in the kingdom of grace and hope. Join me as we pray. O Lord, forgive us when we fail to respond to your call with faith. Forgive us when we are shackled by our narrow understandings of discipleship and our clouded sense of purpose. Forgive us when we are frightened of the future or pull back from the demand of your calling. Forgive us when we fail to sense your presence in our past, to acknowledge your grace in the present moment, and to trust you for our future. Now hear these words of assurance. There is forgiveness and steadfast love with God. Experience this gift today and respond by answering God's call in your life. Now let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
He comes to us as one unknown.
Amen.
please be seated. And if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us here in the front, you're welcome to do so. A number of years ago now, I was visiting a city called Tel Aviv. It's in Israel, and it's right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, one morning I went walking early, and I saw a man, an older man, about my age or a little older, with his pants legs rolled up, standing in the water, and he had a net. He was throwing the net out, and then he would pull the net back in. He would throw the net out, pull the net back in. Now, when we think of fishing with fishing poles or rods and reels, but he was fishing with a net, the same way they did in the time of Jesus. That's what Simon and Andrew were doing when Jesus came by and said, "Follow me and I'll teach you how to fish for people." In fact, James and John were repairing those nets so they could go out and fish some more when he said, "Follow me," and they all followed him. Now, fishing for people, that's kind of a funny idea, isn't it? But I think what Jesus meant was for us to throw the net of God's love out there so that people will know that God loves them. You can do that by inviting them to church, by inviting them to Sunday school, or you can do that simply by showing them kindness and understanding. That way, we fish, we throw God's net of love out, and when we pull it in, some folks will come closer to God and closer to Jesus and maybe even closer to each other in the process. Now, this week, every time you have the opportunity, why don't you show kindness to someone? I bet you already do a lot, but you can think about it to do it this week. Or if you feel like you can, invite them to Sunday school, invite them to church if they don't have someplace else to go. Because, you know, this is the place we learn about God's love. And think about all these people sitting out here who at one time or another got caught in the net of God's love. That's why we're here in the first place. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for letting us be a part of spreading your love around the world, of throwing out that net of your love and bringing people close to you. We know that we do it because you are the one who loved us first. And we know that without your help, we couldn't do anything. So help us this week to share your love just as widely as possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Right after the war between the states, anybody have any question about where I grew up? The Methodist Episcopal Church South was in disarray in Middle Tennessee. A number of the clergy had gone to either fight or be chaplains in the Confederate Army. Some had been killed. Many of the churches had been destroyed by the occupying forces. Some had been commandeered for other uses. For example, McKendree downtown was a hospital. All the pews were taken out. It was a hospital. The Methodist Episcopal Church, or as we called it, the Northern Church, you know, we had divided over that issue of slavery back in the 1840s, had come in with the occupying troops, and they were supplying pastors for some of those empty churches that the Southern Church could not supply. Needless to say, it was a very, very difficult situation. It was in that difficult situation that 5 years after the war had ended, McKendree downtown decided that there needed to be a congregation on the far western border of town. So they chose, it was called Belmont and Broad then, 16th and Broad, for that placement. They found the place, didn't have a building yet. But there was a pastor appointed 3 years later. His name was Fountain Pitts. Isn't that a great name for a preacher? Fountain Pitts. Now, in our day and time, when you're starting a new church, you usually send out your young, energetic clergy right out of seminary. He was not that. He was an old guy with a white beard, which to me seems he's pretty trustworthy. Actually, he was 2 years older than I am now. He was 65 when he was appointed to that church. But it wasn't his first assignment, of course. He had been licensed to preach at 16, born in 1808. Licensed to preach at 16. In his 20s, he had helped develop the first missionary effort from this conference to Latin America. He had been sent to look at different cities and had chosen Buenos Aires as the place where, for the very first time outside the United States, this conference would be involved in mission. When he was in his 30s, he helped found African-American congregations for the few free slaves and the slaves. One of those was called Andrew Church, predecessor to our own Clark United Methodist Church now. But it was also called Andrew Charge because right next to the African American church was a white church. During the war between the states, he was a chaplain in the Confederate Army. And when he came in 1873 to serve as the first appointed pastor of the newly formed West End Methodist Episcopal Church South, he lasted less than a year. He was appointed in October and died of pneumonia the following May. In his obituary, you will read that not only was he pastor of this fledgling congregation, he was also the chaplain at the prison. A remarkable man who planted the seed out of which this grew. We would not be here if it were not for McKendry deciding in the toughest of times that the way to respond to those difficulties and those hardships was to plant a church, a gift of hope to the future, and that they would send one of their most capable and experienced pastors to start that church. He didn't get to see the building. That didn't come along until the third pastor. They sent one to fill out that next year. And then Reverend Green came and helped build the church. The building that sat at 16th and Broad. But then when the border of Nashville grew further west and we decided we needed to build a big building there, then they started another church and moved that little building to Natchez Trace. The church was named after the man who gave the land, Blakemore, a member of this congregation. So just like McKendry birthed West End birthed Blakemore, and as I've said before on occasion, I may be the only pastor in the conference who has served two churches that started in the same building. And then, of course, as the city grew, we moved here, and here we are. And we are the beneficiaries of the faith of McKendry and Fountain Pitts and the Tennessee Conference, that there were people who needed to have God's wide net of love cast over them. You heard the reading that Sean did, and you heard my little story. It's very familiar already. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees these two brothers who are in the fishing business. Simon, who's later named Peter, and Andrew. He calls them, says, I'll teach you how to fish for people. And I don't know if it was just if Jesus was that charismatic or they were a little curious about how you fish for people. But in either case, they followed immediately. A little further down, there were James and John, sons of Zebedee. They're mending the nets. He calls to them. They follow immediately. I've often wondered what Zebedee thought about that. He lost his workforce, right? It's such a weird image, this fishing for people, that a little bit later in Matthew has Jesus explain it. In the 13th chapter, among a whole series of stories that Jesus tells about the end times, he tells one about fishing. He says that we are to cast the wide net, to bring in all the fish that we possibly can, and that in the end times, the angels will be the ones who sort through the fish, select the good fish and the ones that need to be thrown back. That's not our job. Our job is just to cast the wide net of God's love for anybody who is in need of that love, willing to respond to that love, may not even know that they need that love. The judgment we leave up to God and the angels. I think that's what McKendree was doing when they planted that seed. They were casting that wide net to the very edges of Nashville at that time. And it just kept extending and extending. And here we are, caught in the net of God's love. Every one of us, or else we wouldn't be here. But you know, there are lots of folks out there who, from life experience, believe that they are completely unlovable. Not even God could love them. And our job is to cast that net so that it includes them, so that they hear that message of God's love in a way that hopefully they can understand it. Because you see, we have a new net, don't we? Called the internet, right? And we're on Facebook, right? Some of us. I am. Yes, our communications director, Shelley Kuhlmeier, set me up several years ago, told me I was on Facebook, and taught me how to use it. I didn't have a clue. And so I just started posting things that seemed to be interesting to me. Things that were happening at the church, or things that would be thought-provoking, or things that might be comforting. After about a year, year and a half, somebody came to me and they said, I really appreciate your Facebook ministry. And I didn't know I had one. I was just posting stuff I thought was interesting. But it is a ministry, what you do. Not just what we up here in robes do, what you do. As you cast that broad net across the world to let people know that they too are caught up in God's love. I see a lot of what you post, and you're doing exactly that already. We could do even more. Because you see, that's our calling. That's our job. To love God, love our neighbor as ourselves, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, it is to cast that net of God's love just as broadly as we possibly can. So that no one will escape knowing how deeply, how profoundly, and how steadfastly God loves them. We've been at that under this name for 140 years now. If you want to know more about that, you can read your booklet here, done by our Archives and History folks, who did a magnificent job. Lots more information there about that. If you can't, for some reason, come to the lunch, I hope you'll walk around and look at the displays, because that, too, will give you a sense of the history of this congregation and those persons who have been caught up in God's net of love through this congregation. But one of the things that folks have wanted for a long while has been a sign. Now, I thought we had never had a sign. But you know what? In those displays, I saw a picture of a sign. It's a little black sign with letters that you can change. And it was right out front here at one time. I don't know when. But we're prepared to put another one out there. We're prepared to put one that matches the church. That will be very beautiful. We have a matching gift of $30,000, which is half of what it will take to build that. And I have a feeling that it won't take long for that other $30,000 to come in, because a lot of you have been waiting for a sign for a long time. So people will know that this is not the engineering building at Vanderbilt University. Or even the School of Religion at Vanderbilt University, or even the chapel at Vanderbilt University, although we have a lot of Vanderbilt folks here. We are West End United Methodist Church. 140 years of casting God's net as broadly as we possibly can and calling people to grow closer to God, to grow into the image of Christ, to grow closer to each other. I can't think of a higher calling. May it be so 140 years from now. Another way that we remember who we are is through our creeds and affirmations. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. And join with me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We believe in God,
who has created and is creating,
who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We are so glad that we're all together today on this special day to worship and to celebrate the history of this congregation. If you're a guest among us, please join us for a time of fellowship through the doors to your right in Reed Hall or downstairs in McWhirter Hall. And especially if this is your first time at West End, we would love to get to know you. So please come to the Bread for the Journey table, where West End member Meyer Wilson will be there to meet you and to greet you, to tell you more about the church, and to give you a small gift that we have for you. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a small gray card. One side is for any prayer requests that you'd like to share. The other side is for comments or concerns that you would like to share with the staff or lay leadership. You can fill out that card and then place it in the offering plate in just a moment. If you've not yet done so, please take a moment to record your attendance on the attendance pad. Pass it down the row so that others can do the same. And then when it reaches the end of the row, pass it the other direction. And then take a moment to notice who is in worship with you this morning and be sure to say hello and welcome them to West End. Today we celebrate with Melissa and Rob Wiseman as they have welcomed Carter Lee Wiseman, who was born on Tuesday, January 21st. And our sympathies are extended to Monty, Bethany, Samuel, and Harrison Wilson, who are mourning the death of Monty's father, Jim Wilson, who died Tuesday, January 21st. Services were held at Madison Church of Christ on Friday, January 24th. Also, Rosalie Smody died on the 7th. She was 95. Ms. Smody's services were held on the 11th at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home. And finally, June Ingram died on January 23rd. She's been a member of West End for many years, and her husband was an early and strong supporter of the Interfaith Dental Clinic, which was started here in the church basement 20 years ago. Services will be Monday, January 27th at 11:30 at Woodlawn Funeral Home. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We live in a world that is desperate for you, God. When powers struggle for dominance and war, oppression, and abuse result. When groups of people oppose one another because of ideology, religion, or culture. God, you are bigger than our personal interests. We long for your mercy. When people are disregarded and devalued because of property, geography, or disease, when compassion and justice are withheld to some because of sexuality, race, or gender, God, you are more compassionate than we are, and you include those we exclude. We long for your mercy. When resources are mismanaged and abused, and the world and its creatures are destroyed, when motivation is scarce and creativity is in short supply to address the challenges that we face, God, you are more powerful and more creative than we could ever be. We long for your mercy. Lord God, loving Savior, empowering Spirit, we offer you these prayers because we need you so desperately. Captivate us, call us, and fill us, that we may be carriers of your eternal life to this community and to the entire world. And now hear these words that we've spoken together and will continue to speak together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May we offer not only the ordinary things of life, like our money, but also the extraordinary, and give our whole selves to God. We give thanks that through our gifts, God will work in this place and in the world.
I'd like to invite the congregation to be seated as those being presented for membership this morning make their way to the front. And as they're coming forward, I want to encourage you and remind you that there is an all-church lunch after the service, both to celebrate the 140th anniversary of the church as well as welcome and celebrate our newest members. We have the meal comprised of recipes from the church cookbook from the early part of the century, the middle of the century, and in current cookbook. So it's really going to be an interesting menu if you can make it. Like to introduce you to those being presented this morning. We'll begin with Joanna Gaston. Joanna has been around West End for a couple of years now. She's been very active in welcoming and greeting and has really embraced this congregation and made it her own. We welcome you. She's transferring her membership from Mendenhall First United Methodist Church in Mendenhall, Mississippi. Welcome. Next, we have William Moore and Kate Gilpin. They're engaged to be married, so it's going to be a bit of a William and Kate royal wedding in the not-too-distant future. Kate is transferring from Bellevue United Methodist Church, and she works at St. Thomas West in the emergency room as a registered nurse. William is transferring from another denomination in his home church in Morristown, Tennessee, and he works as a consultant with Santa Rosa Consulting. And next, we have Chris Marsicano. Chris is a really neat story for West End. Many of you already know Chris, although you may not recognize him. He was baptized here in the church back a while ago as an infant by his grandfather, the Dr. Reverend Russell Monfort. So we welcome Chris back here to be part of West End. He's at Vanderbilt in a PhD program at Peabody. So we welcome you, Chris. He's transferring from Providence United Methodist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And next we have Aaron. Come on over this side, Aaron. Gotten to know Aaron fairly well over the last few months. He is going to be joining us through the sacrament of baptism this morning. He showed up at West End at a point when he badly needed to know the love of God in his life, and he's responding to that love and really been around quite a bit. So we're excited for you on this special day. Let's begin then with the baptism. Brothers and sisters, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. So I present to you Aaron Thomas Gillespie for baptism. Aaron, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? Great. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, say we do. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters. You brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by the Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this water and this man who receives it, to wash away his sins, to clothe him in righteousness throughout his life. that dying and being raised with Christ, Aaron may share in this final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you, in you, in the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. Aaron, if you will kneel. Aaron, it's with great joy that we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lay on hands. Let us pray. Aaron, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to begin with William and Aaron to become United Methodists. I ask you one question. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. Great. Now you're all United Methodists, so I ask you this question. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, a congregation that's called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you will, say, I will. Great. Will the congregation please rise and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters, do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give you thanks for all that God has already given you, and welcome you in Christian love as members of Western United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything our God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may all live as faithful disciples all of our days.
Thank you.
And now I send you forth to cast that broad net of God's love wherever you go, knowing that God who wove that net of love in the first place, Jesus Christ who taught us how to fish for others, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to cast that net around everyone we meet, be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.